910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The turkey and trimmings consumed, we're entering the holiday gift procurement bacchanal.
The average shopper will spend more than $900 on the holidays while becoming more selective, says Catherine Cullen of the National Retail Federation.
We know consumers are maybe pulling back when they look at gifts for coworkers, gifts for some of those non-essential relationships in their lives.
And gift recipients are more pragmatic as well.
We are seeing people saying, I want a gift card, I'd love some clothes or accessories.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
U.S. stock markets were closed for the holiday. There will be a half day of trading on Friday. Stocks fell slightly on Wednesday after hitting record highs on Tuesday. Tech stocks led the losses after Dell and HP issued weak sales forecasts. Australia passed a first-in-the-world social media ban for kids aged 16 and under. Those platforms will have a year to work out how to bar them from creating accounts. This is ABC. All right, you've had the turkey and trimmings. Maybe watch some football. Now we're about to enter the holiday gift procurement bacchanal.
The average shopper will spend more than $900 on the holidays while becoming more selective, says Catherine Cullen of the National Retail Federation.
We know consumers are maybe pulling back when they look at gifts for coworkers, gifts for some of those non-essential relationships in their lives.
And gift recipients are more pragmatic as well.
We are seeing people saying, I want a gift card, I'd love some clothes or accessories.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
San Jose State University says it's disappointed. Boise State forfeited its semifinal match in the Mountain West Conference's women's volleyball tournament. The Broncos didn't say specifically why. Recently, a lawsuit was brought by players from various schools calling for a San Jose player not to be allowed to participate, citing unspecified reports asserting there was a trans player on the squad. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Packers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers won in prime time, 30-17 over the Miami Dolphins. Green Bay jumped out to a 24-3 lead. I asked wide receiver Christian Watson how much the running game with running back Josh Jacobs helped the offense.
This is all 11 when it comes down to running, you know, making sure we're blocking on the outside because, you know, Josh is bound to break one at any time. And then, you know, obviously that helps us, you know, in other scenarios where, you know, they think runs come in, they load the box and we're able to get it out to the perimeter.
The Packers improved to 9-3 and face the Lions next week. The Dolphins fall to 5-7. Are their playoff hopes over? Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
You know, I wouldn't say the dream's dead for our team just yet. Anything can happen in this league. You know, we're going to watch the film. We're going to look over things that we need to get better at. We're going to come back next week, and we're just going to keep chopping wood.
College football, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota today. The Badgers need a win to keep their streak of bowl game invitations of 22 years in a row still alive. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some flurries of light snow in the overnight. Any kind of accumulation will be well under an inch. Lows near 10. West winds up around 20 at 25 miles per hour. Friday, snow chances wind down. Clouds stay with us. Highs in the upper teens. It's 12 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a special edition of the show. We'll look at Black Friday deals and look back at a couple of great interviews of the year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff. Coming to you from Radio Park in Racine. Thank you so very much for joining us. You are listening to a specially curated program for you. We are off today. We did pre-record this because we're going to be with our friends and family.
Indeed.
And enjoying a little turkey and a little pecan pie or perhaps peach pie.
Oh, yeah. Or some sweet potato fries.
Or sweet potato pie.
Oh, boy.
Whatever you're having, I hope you're... I hope your turkey's thawed.
Yes.
Let's start with that.
I hope the turkey is succulent.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
But first, you got to thaw it.
Yes.
And if this is your first time cooking a turkey and you haven't thawed it out yet, it might be a little too late and you might have to go to the store and buy a fresh one that is not frozen.
Boil a pot of hot water and hope for the best.
Really?
I did the. I took that advice from my mom. Not that advice, but here's what happened was, is I bought a I was entertaining Thanksgiving at my apartment when I lived here in Racine, Caledonia area. And I bought the turkey and it was frozen. And I was told just put it in the fridge for a few days. Mm-hmm. My mom came over on Thursday morning. She's like, why isn't this not thawed? I'm like, I don't know. I brought it from the store to here. I don't know what to tell you. We had to put it under hot water.
No kidding.
Yeah, because it just didn't properly thaw. I don't know if it's because my refrigerator wasn't powerful enough, but that was felt like strike one of the single guy trying to house his whole
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
First time you're doing a turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Colleen Kotke, Wisconsin State farmer, has a column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the correct way to thaw your turkey. This is according to the FDA.
Yeah.
So you never want to just leave it on the counter to sit.
Check.
This allows the meat to reach a dangerous temperature zone for a long period of time, and then that allows bacteria, which you do not want. It allows bacteria to multiply quickly, which increases the chances of getting food poisoning. So, don't leave it out on the counter to thaw.
Okay.
Put it in the fridge, but it does take time. So, you want to put it in a pan that has raised sides.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the fridge is set to be 40 Fahrenheit or colder. And then once it's thawed out, it can stay in the fridge for 1 to 2 days. Obviously, it's going to depend upon how big of a bird that you have. 4 to 12 pounds frozen turkey, it's going to take 1 to 3 days.
Okay.
16 to 20 pounds, 4 to 5 days.
Jeez.
20 to 24 pounds.
Who?
You must have a family of 90.
Who likes that many people?
All at the same time.
Right?
5 to 6 days if you have a bigger bird. You can do it in cold water, but that's going to take more time.
Interesting.
I did that once. I think that was the one and only time I made a turkey.
Yeah.
And did it with the cold water method. You put it in a leak-proof bag to prevent germs from getting all over the sink. Then you submerge the wrapped turkey in cold water, but the water needs to be changed every half hour to make sure the bird doesn't get into the temperature danger zone.
Forget that noise. Just put it in the fridge. Let it be for a few days.
That's probably the easiest. Yeah. Otherwise, you are essentially babysitting your turkey. Calvin?
This is not advice, and don't sue me if it doesn't work or you get sick. But when I worked at an assisted living, I was a cook. When we needed to thaw something, we put it in the sink and ran water over it.
Yeah.
So I would say use cold water because you don't want to cook the outside of that.
That would be bad.
Bad and gross. But running cold water, I think, is probably, at least it's easier, more convenient than changing the water. It's probably more wasteful.
It's going to be a lot more wasteful.
You're
going to go
wasteful.
Through a lot of water.
It's going to be gallons upon gallons. I mean, that's the thing is like we haven't had to worry about that for a few years because we were always buying our turkeys from Whole Foods, a part of these package deals. But this year, I think, honestly, talking on this show about it, we went to a farmer's market. We found a place. And we bought our turkey from a local Kenosha farmer.
That's great.
And it really wasn't that expensive.
I was going to ask.
It wasn't expensive.
Was it pretty close?
It's pretty close. Yeah, yeah. And we got ourselves a 14-pound bird because it's going to be a big table this year. And I just feel good knowing that we're
supporting shopping local.
We're shopping local on this one.
Definitely.
You know? So
also, if your bird is not thawed yet, you can use the microwave. But make sure to follow the specific micro manufacturer's instructions. That would make me twitchy a little bit.
Do not put it in the aluminum pan in the...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
When you hit microwaving a turkey in this situation, I feel like you're traipsing into dude territory. Like, well, I put it in the microwave and then my kitchen's on fire.
Yeah, I don't know about the microwave method. Keep an eye on it if you're going to do that.
If
you got a 24-pound turkey, how big is your microwave?
If you got a 24-pound turkey, you ain't making it. The help is.
Ooh.
I think that, honestly, if you've never done it before, simply go to Google. What's great is Butterball has a hotline.
They do have a hotline.
They have a hotline staffed by experts who can answer your questions. Google is free. It's right there for you. But if you want experts... Butterball is there to help you.
Years ago, when I was at a different radio station, and we talked to someone who was on the Butterball hotline.
Yeah.
And one of her favorite stories was a man who had called. He left the turkey out on the counter to thaw.
Yeah.
Which we've already talked about. You're not supposed to do.
Please don't do.
And when he came down from his bedroom, he came downstairs and he could see a tail waving from outside the cavity of the turkey.
Wait, what?
His cat.
Oh.
His cat had crawled inside the turkey. And he wanted to know if he just rinsed it off, if that would be okay.
You know what, dude? Sure. Go ahead. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, once again, when you traipse into that dude territory of fixes that aren't based on expertise and more like just on hunches.
Yeah. Let's try this.
Let's try this.
Let's try this.
Let's see if this won't kill my family.
It'll be great.
Oh, my goodness.
Today is Thanksgiving Day. Tomorrow is Black Friday.
Indeed.
I will not be shopping on Black Friday. That's something that I did many years ago with a girlfriend.
I feel like Black Friday has evolved into this really weird thing. When I was a kid, Black Friday was the day after Thanksgiving. It was a one-day sale. People weren't trampling each other over stuff. And I feel like, to a certain extent, that has...
Eased,
especially with, you know, people are doing Black Friday sales right now. They're through the weekend. There's Cyber Monday and all these things. So, yeah, I never go out for Black Friday. I think I may have done it once or twice because I had to. But other than that, I buy everything online anyways. So
I think a lot of folks do.
I just make it. I'm and here's the other thing, too, folks. If you haven't done it for this year, this is what I did this year is I started a Christmas club. I had an account. I put money away every single month. My Christmas presents this year are paid for.
Look at you, Mr. Planning Ahead.
It gets expensive. I've got lots of family to shop for, and I want to buy them stuff. I want to buy them cool stuff. So I feel like from a financial standpoint, starting at when you're done with your Christmas shopping, every month put a portion aside, and then that will really help you out, especially if you're using that credit card.
Yeah, if you can pay cash, boy.
Yeah, pay cash, or like I'm going to put it on a credit card, and then I'm going to pay the credit card off immediately. But
That used to be the Christmas club that they would have at the local bank.
Exactly. And I think they still do have those things, and they'll just release the funds to you then. But like, I just do it myself because it's just easier.
That's great.
Yeah. And I don't understand, like, it doesn't even feel special anymore. Like, Black Friday was the thing. You get up super early, you'd go shopping for a few hours, and then you go to have lunch and
exactly.
you go home.
And now, you go home and go to and take a nap.
Now it's just all the time.
Yeah, it really is.
Calvin, do you ever Black Friday shop? Do you have things that are like cool electronics that you want to buy?
I have a singular Black Friday experience. It was probably when I was like 14 years old. It wasn't even on Black Friday. It was a Thanksgiving shopping experience. We left my aunt's house Thanksgiving at like 9 o'clock, went to Best Buy, and was home with a new TV like before 10.
Wow. Holy cow. That's expert shop. See, but that's the thing too, is years ago, you didn't make your employees work on Thanksgiving.
Well, and I think a lot of them have really backed away from that.
Yeah.
I know Kohl's is not open this year on Thanksgiving.
REI, the outdoor store, like they don't even open on Black Friday at all. They make it's a campaign. They're like, go outside, do something else. We'll be here. Don't worry. Because even when they're not working on Thanksgiving, if they're working on Black Friday, that means those people are working on Thanksgiving because they have to do like the inventory. They have
absolutely
to set up. I just, you know.
No, I was really glad. That seems to have been something that's changed in the last 5 to 7 years.
I think you're right.
With the closing on Thanksgiving, which is good.
Yes.
Which is good.
You need days off.
Well, everybody needs a break.
Yes.
And just because something is $5 cheaper.
No, yeah, I agree.
We can wait one more day.
Yeah. If you really want it, I'll give you the $5 to $10 extra when it's. The huge, amazing sale is over.
And the other thing I would recommend, and it's not possible for everyone, and I do a lot of shopping online as well, mm-hmm. but if you can do some shopping at your local small businesses,
yes.
that makes a really big difference.
So every year it's like this. There's Black Friday. That's the Friday after Thanksgiving, as we all know. Then it's Small Business Saturday, which we are encouraged to find out your local shops, whether it be farmers markets, whether it be small shops.
Little gifty shops.
And then we have Cyber Monday and then all this stuff. Go out there and find your local businesses and patronize them this weekend.
Some of those little boutiques.
Exactly. Buy a little present. And honestly, if you bought me something that like I'm more maybe more stoked if you say, I just bought it at a local shop and I thought of you. I'm more happy about that memory rather than what it is itself.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
But you took the time to go and shop.
Yes.
And went into physical stores.
Yes. And like, hey, Jane, I thought of you when I saw this and I wanted to give it to you. I would start crying.
Aww.
Yeah. I show emotions.
You do show emotions. All right. Specially curated show for you today. It is Thanksgiving Day. We're so glad to have you along with us. And I hope you will stay right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me. I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month, like $1,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Now, somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about Michael Gabelman, of course, now facing some issues because of his behavior with that whole bogus, I'm going to find election fraud from 2020. Maggie Dawn yesterday had Jeff Mandel on from Law Forward, and they talk about this extensively. So if you would like to hear more about it, I would suggest you go to civicmedia.us and then just go to Maggie's show, and you will be able to check that out there. You can read about it. You can also listen to the segment from yesterday's show. So, yeah. And Maggie's going to be joining us next week.
Yes.
Wednesday at 10:33, Maggie Dawn will be joining us. Coming up after the 10:30 news, welcome to the land of Oz. And then we're going to wrap it up with Shrieker of the House, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And make it make sense.
Okay.
Please, someone, make it make sense. As we promised, you need to look out for raccoons if you live in Milwaukee County. And this isn't a joke. It sounds like something we would do for this shouldn't be a thing. But Mary Spacuza yesterday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I saw her post this on Twitter, and she had a picture of a raccoon in the middle of the day on a sidewalk up on its hind legs. Raccoons are very nocturnal animals.
Yes.
They don't want to, you know, they don't want to be seen. That's not normal behavior for them. So in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel again today, if you noticed raccoons in your neighborhood in Milwaukee County acting strange, they could have canine distemper virus.
Okay, so before the show started, you said we can talk about raccoons today and keep a lookout. I'm like, why do we care about raccoons? And then you said that. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and this can pass to other animals.
Yeah.
So far, about 350 raccoons from Milwaukee County with this canine distemper virus have been admitted to the Humane Society's Wildlife Rehab Center this year. That is three times more than previous years.
Jeez.
Wisconsin DNR confirmed several raccoons in the county tested positive in February and October. Milwaukee County getting higher than usual numbers of sick raccoons consistent with potential canine distemper. Bayview residents in September were wondering whether raccoons and other wildlife were being affected by rat poison, but the experts say that canine distemper is much more likely. So Here's what you need to know. If you see a raccoon acting strangely, it is highly contagious. It is deadly to raccoons. It affects the respiratory, immune, and nervous systems of animals. This virus can spread through direct contact, the air, all bodily secretions, and it can survive in the environment for several hours. So raccoons with this canine distemper are acting strangely. They're wandering around in the daylight, which is not something they normally do. They stand on their back legs. They just don't seem to care what's going on around them. They're very skittish otherwise.
Sounds like zombies.
It does.
Yeah.
So humans cannot contract this virus, but you want to give it lots of space. Keep your pets and your kids away because the raccoon could always have rabies.
So I know they're saying Milwaukee County, but is this happening anywhere else besides there? Because, I mean, I have a dog. We are in Kenosha County, and I would also like to be on the lookout.
Well, I think it would be wise to be on the lookout anyway.
Yeah.
There is nothing specific that I have found in this story that says that it's growing or that it's a bigger problem than Milwaukee County. But dogs, skunks, ferrets, foxes, coyotes, and squirrels can all be affected. Canine distemper is one of the core vaccinations for dogs.
Say that one more time. It's
canine distemper vaccine is one of the core vaccinations for dogs. That's called the DHPP, which I'm sure Maybelle has had.
Yes, she has. She, in fact, she just got her latest shots. She's such a good girl. She's such a good girl. But yeah, I'm not trying to either be funny or start something here. But do people have the same attitude about vaccines
with their dogs?
With their dogs, because I know in some places you have to be like. The daycare center we took her to, you have to not only be vaccinated, show paperwork saying
yes.
But like, are people doing that? I haven't seen anything, but I wouldn't be surprised either if like vaccines cause something in my dog and I'm not doing that.
Well, if you're not going to get vaccines for yourself, you probably aren't going to get your dogs vaccinated.
That's really shameful.
It is shameful because, again, as you said, Greg, if you put them in a communal situation, that's when things can spread.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're not going to doggy daycare, I guess, but still, if your dog is being exposed to other dogs and your dog is not vaccinated, that can cause problems.
And just going outside and living its life, running around, eating the dirt and chasing after squirrels and maybe raccoons. And
folks in Milwaukee County, if you see one of these strange raccoons, you can call the Wisconsin Humane Society's Wildlife Rehab Center. They will... They can't retrieve the sick animals because of a lack of staff. They will likely request that you bring it, so you'd have to trap it.
What?
Safely contained to the center. But if the animal poses a threat to police or animals, you can call the non-emergency police number. There is no cure for this. The rehab center's protocol is to euthanize raccoons that come in with this distemper virus. But again, it is something that can spread to other mammals. So just be on the lookout. Just be aware if you live in Milwaukee County and you see a raccoon at noon hitchhiking, he's probably not well.
That's one of them noon raccoons. It's got the sickness.
Yeah.
You had me up until the point where I would have to trap it because I don't know how to trap a raccoon. How do you do that? I mean,
well, you get a big trap and you look up what they eat.
Yes. Amazon, big trap.
You can get big traps.
I'm not doing that. Then the county can pay me.
Okay. Matt from Germantown texting and listening on WAUK. As a scientist who studied leptospirosis, you should get your dogs vaccinated if they're ever outside.
Yes.
I have grown the bacteria from my front lawn. It's all over. Yeah, Matt, absolutely. Get your dogs vaccinated.
Yes.
Get yourself vaccinated.
There it is.
News is coming up next when we return. Welcome to the Land of Oz. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
He fell back in his room only to find Gideon's Bible. Gideon checked out and he left it no doubt to help with Good Rocky's revival. Oh yeah,
This
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The turkey and trimmings consumed, we're entering the holiday gift procurement bacchanal.
The average shopper will spend more than $900 on the holidays while becoming more selective, says Catherine Cullen of the National Retail Federation.
We know consumers are maybe pulling back when they look at gifts for coworkers, gifts for some of those non-essential relationships in their lives.
And gift recipients are more pragmatic as well.
We are seeing people saying, I want a gift card, I'd love some clothes or accessories.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
U.S. stock markets were closed for the holiday. There will be a half day of trading on Friday. Stocks fell slightly on Wednesday after hitting record highs on Tuesday. Tech stocks led the losses after Dell and HP issued weak sales forecasts. Australia passed its a first-in-the-world social media ban for kids aged 16 and under. Those platforms will have a year to work out how to bar them from creating accounts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Packers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers won in prime time, 30-17 over the Miami Dolphins. Green Bay jumped out to a 24-3 lead. I asked wide receiver Christian Watson how much the running game with running back Josh Jacobs helped the offense.
This is all 11 when it comes down to running, you know, making sure we're blocking on the outside because, you know, Josh is bound to break one at any time. And then, you know, obviously that helps us, you know, in other scenarios where, you know, they think runs come in, they load the box and we're able to get it out to the perimeter.
The Packers improved to 9-3 and face the Lions next week. The Dolphins fall to 5-7. Are their playoff hopes over? Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
You know, I wouldn't say the dream's dead for our team just yet. Anything can happen in this league. You know, we're going to watch the film. We're going to look over things that we need to get better at. We're going to come back next week, and we're just going to keep chopping wood.
College football, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota today. The Badgers need a win to keep their streak of bowl game invitations of 22 years in a row still alive. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some flurries of light snow in the overnight. Any kind of accumulation will be well under an inch. Lows near 10. West winds up around 20 at 25 miles per hour. Friday, snow chances wind down. Clouds stay with us. Highs in the upper teens. It's 12 at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll revisit some of our favorite recent interviews, including children's author Laura Bird and meeting new state legislator Christian Phelps.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to a best of pre-recorded episode of Matt and Air on Air for this Thanksgiving Day. And for that, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving, hoping you're celebrating safely with friends, family, or whomever. But either way, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Next up, Jane, Cal, and I talk about a contest to name a school that ended up becoming some of our favorite moments recently on the show. So much so that we even got compliments from you, the listeners, about how much you loved hearing us laugh and how much it made you laugh, which means the world to us. Please enjoy.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. Remember back a few years, Greg Bach, 2016?
Yeah.
A proposal by the British government to let the internet suggest a name for a new almost $300 million polar research ship. So they opened it up to the internet. Give us some suggestions for what we should name this very pricey research ship. And of course, there were some more dignified names suggested, like Shackleton, who was a very famous explorer.
Mm-hmm.
Endeavor, also named after one of, I think, Shackleton's ships. Falcon.
Ooh.
Falcon is good.
I love that.
That's not what won. Remember what won?
What won, Jane? Refresh our memories.
Bodie McBoatface. James Hand, a PR professional and former BBC employee, became an overnight sensation when he submitted the name Bodie McBoatface after seeing reports of the competition, and then he watched it completely get out of control.
This is not what I expected.
This is not what he expected. The storm that has been created has got its legs of its own, Mr. Hand said, adding he had submitted Bodie McBoatface in another competition just for grins. And he actually, though, voted for the name RRS David Attenborough.
Oh, that would have been
awesome.
That would
have been awesome.
I just, you know English people. I know English people. I just imagine it's like, what should we name it? Bodie
McBoatface.
Do what you want.
Right,
okay.
I like that.
I'm trying to walk here. You're asking me dumb questions.
Makes me laugh.
Makes me laugh inside. Bodie McBoatface.
Well, Wisconsin, now we have our own.
Wisconsin said, hold my beer.
In Madison. Community leaders getting closer to narrowing down potential names for Southside Elementary School. The school, formerly known as Frank Alice, has been using the temporary name Southside since they moved into a new building last year. Then they paused the naming process of the school for about a year while they were looking for a new superintendent. They did get 175 name proposals for the school, a record number for a renaming process, according to Greg Jones. This article, by the way, is out of the Cap Times. They did recently remove proposed names, including Schooly McSchoolface, Schooly McSchoolerson, and Big Chungus Elementary. I don't even know what that is.
Big Chungus. I like two things. I like big breakfast, and I love learning. Big Chungus.
I don't even know if we can say that on the air, honestly.
Like, it might be a bad word. I don't know. Unfortunately, they removed those names.
Boo.
Disappointing. Boo. Under school board policy, district schools must be named after a prominent national or local figure who is deceased. Schools can also be named after a locally significant place, a geographical site, or a broadly respected civic virtue. So the name Laura Perry got the most nominations. A Madison leader who lived on the South Side and died in 2020, she founded the after-school program Mission Point 4. So that's cool. Pretty cool. The program offered tutoring for Black students at West High. She also helped create the Mann Scholars Program, providing scholarships and mentorship to Madison students of color.
That's nice. I like
that.
Yeah,
that's lovely.
I mean, I put this story in the show links. You can click it. It says 175 suggestions. You can look at all of them. And some of them are very nice. There's Milt McPike, I'm assuming is a person of the community. Wayne Strong. Someone suggested Fred Rogers Elementary, which I thought would have been very,
that's
very
nice.
very nice. But yeah, then there is Schooly McSchooler face. There was one that I saw that was just
Schooly McSchoolerson. Yeah. That's my favorite one, actually.
Eddie's House. There's just one Eddie's called House? Eddie's House. Eddie's House of Pancakes and Learning.
We were looking around this morning before the show, and I hope this made you laugh as half as hard as it made us laugh.
We were laughing so hard. Like I said before earlier in the show, I have not seen Jane laugh that hard in a while. And frankly, we need it. And let's ask you right now. Since Tuesday, it's been tough for people. And we've talked about how tough it is. And we were talking about feeling your feelings, expressing yourself, maybe turning off the social media, getting away at how you've been healing and relaxing and doing your thing. What have you been doing? And also, can you tell us maybe about a big laugh you had where you just felt like it just all came out? You're like, oh, man, I needed that. Because honestly, I needed that laugh. I've been laughing here and there since Tuesday, but that was just dumb, fun laughter happening, and that's what we all need.
Laughing till you cry.
Exactly.
Till you cry.
Exactly. That I'm going to pass out.
We were giggling back there like we were 12.
It was wonderful.
Calvin, any thoughts on Schooly McSchoolerson?
Well, I just wanted to provide some context on Big Chungus.
Oh, good. Oh, excellent.
Our resident young person in Big Chungus record.
Here to clear it up.
So Big Chungus is kind of... it's one of those amorphous internet memes that doesn't totally mean anything, but it originates from this image. I don't know if it actually is from the cartoon or if it's edited, but of Bugs Bunny, really fat. He's like round like a ball, and it just was captioned Big Chungus, and it kind of took off from there, and now kind of just refers to anything that's cute and fat.
That's hilarious.
That's
didn't make the cut.
Big Chungus did not make.
Big Chungus did not make it.
Where do you go to school? I went to Big Chungus Elementary, and then I went, and then I made my way to Harvard.
Right, exactly. Where did you go to school?
Schooly McSchooler face.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about this article in today's Cap Times, and we'll put this in our show notes from Kayla Hoyne. About the renaming of an elementary school in Madison, formerly known as Frank Alice. They moved into a new building last year, and so they had to put the naming process on pause while they looked for a new superintendent. And then they asked for proposals from the community, and they got 175 name proposals. But they did remove Schooly McSchoolface, Schooly McSchoolerson, and Big Chungus Elementary.
I don't care. Here anymore.
Oh, there you are. Right.
I don't care how many times you say it. Big Chungus, Big Chungus will always make me laugh. Glory of the Morning Elementary School. I'm looking through them right now, and there's just
these are actual suggestions.
Yeah, there's a lot of just like people who I imagine are part of the community and, you know, important leaders and cool people. But Glory of the Morning Elementary School sounds like, welcome to Glory of the Morning Elementary School, kids. Please rise for the prayer.
Yeah, that little. But other suggestions included Shirley Abramson, whom Governor Evers and State Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley nominated in letters to the school district. Abramson, who died in 2020, the first woman to serve on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the first to lead the court as Chief Justice. She served longer than any justice in Wisconsin history, according to the governor.
Okay. Some people just said Southside. Like, come on, man. The one that's hitting my heart the most right now, Chris Farley Elementary.
Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been great.
That would have been great. What's been making you laugh?
What's been making
lately?
You get through it?
What's helping? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Could be just something very, very silly, like Greg and I getting our chuckles out of this.
Absolutely. Never mind. That's just some weirdo. Never mind. I thought someone was texting us. They're just being weird. Sometimes people text us weird things, and I don't say them on the air because we don't need it.
No, we don't need it.
But, you know, we're talking about fun stuff here. I mean, yeah, it's pretty innocuous after those three names, though.
It's tough to come close.
Fuel or crutch? I don't know. Calvin, does fuel or crutch mean anything to you? That's one that doesn't make sense.
In resident young person lingo?
It's all one word. Fuel or crutch?
No, that doesn't mean anything to me.
All right, fine.
I'm confused. I said that out of confusion.
Right now, Lori Mann Carey is the name that's gotten the most nominations. Yeah. Again, a Madison leader who died in 2020, founded some after-school programs, helped create scholarships and scholarship programs and mentorship. So that's pretty cool.
Pele Elementary? I don't know.
Soccer player?
I guess. I don't know if Pele had any sort of... And someone actually suggested Otis Redding Elementary because he died in Madison.
Yeah, not... No.
No, we don't need
no,
that.
No, not so
I love
much.
Otis Redding as much as the next person. That just seems very weird. Andrew Vermain says, other people text you weird things, but that's my job.
Oh, Andrew, there's enough weirdness out there to go around.
Trust me, we love your weirdness.
Yes,
we
absolutely.
Adore your weirdness.
And we greatly appreciate it. Andrew, on the live stream, the Elementary School of Recombobulation.
Damn
Maybe the next time in Milwaukee, if we need to rename a school, we could, you know, promote that for Dan Schaefer.
What would you do, Jane? They said, Jane, I just want to let you know, the school is going to be named after you. It's going to be called Matinair School of...
Whatever. Laughs?
Matinair School of Radio Broadcast. We're going to teach people how to be in radio, and we're going to name the school after you.
We'd have to have a long sit-down about that. A real long sit-down.
Someone texted in, Chris Farley School needs to be by a river.
And if yes. The Chris Farley School located down by the river.
Yep.
Calvin.
Absolutely.
This isn't totally related to this school or funny, but it's more of a feel good. There, I saw a CBS News story from a few weeks ago that a Missouri elementary school voted to name their elementary school building after their beloved custodian that all the children love.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you know what his name was? Does it include what his name is?
Big Chungus.
It is. No, I'm trying to find it in the article. It is a woman named Claudine Wilson. So now it will be Claudine Wilson Elementary.
That's fantastic. It really is. That's fantastic. So they named the school after the favorite beloved janitor.
Love that.
I do too.
Someone listening to us on WGBW said Big Chungus Elementary almost made me spit out my lunch. Well, at least we've accomplished one thing today.
What was our goal?
We had one goal when we created this show, to make people spit out their lunch because we're that funny.
It's always an extra plus.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a little spit take or whatever. We'll take all of it.
A spit take and a snort. When you're doing comedy, when you get a spit take or a snort, you know you have nailed it.
Snort is high praise.
Oh, my God. Are you like a... Oh, my gosh, yes. You just can't... Oh, it makes you feel so... I've seen comedians stop their sets because they hear a snort. And they're like...
They just want to bask in the snort. They're
like, look, got a snort. That's mine. That's all mine.
Basking in the snort, it's what we do.
Big Chungus.
And you can always join us.
Yes.
You can send them to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. One break to go. We're going to wrap it up. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to a best of pre-recorded episode of Matt and Air on Air for this Thanksgiving Day. And for that, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving, hoping you're celebrating safely with friends, family, or whomever. But either way, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving. In our final segment of the show, as we always do, we wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Volatile Odor Edition. Enjoy, and once again, have a happy, happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. We have news coming up in just a little bit. It is 11:52, Calvin. That means it is time for today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the BBC. Crystal Hayes, headline reads, Mystery Solved Behind Blobs Washing Ashore in Canada. Canadian officials earlier this autumn started an investigation as photos of white blobs washing up along the Newfoundland coast went viral after being spotted along the shores of Placentia Bay. There was speculation that the substance that some compared to dough. They thought it might have been fungus, mold, or wax. In the end, Memorial University chemistry professor Chris Kozak analyzed it and found it was man-made and some type of synthetic rubber. He ultimately found the blobs aren't toxic and they're safe to handle, though they do carry, quote, a volatile odor.
And because he's English, he said volatile odor.
Odor. O-D-O-U-R.
Yeah, there's a U in there, baby.
Professor Kozak ran a series of tests with graduate students. It was called Project Unknown Glob, which I kind of love just in and of itself.
Very English. It's like, what is it? It's an unknown blob. There we go. Glob.
Glob.
That's what you call it.
Project Unknown Glob. But they're not toxic, but apparently they're smelly. He thinks the substance is a PVA composite found in adhesives like glue and some nail polish coatings. They still have no idea where the globs originated. They are concerned that there's a bunch of these now lying across the bottom of the ocean. Because he has come across hundreds and hundreds of globs. Big globs, little globs.
The biggest globs.
The biggest glob, about 15 centimeters wide.
Oh, mother glory.
Professor Kozak's telling the Guardian newspaper substantial amounts of globs might be on the bottom of the Atlantic. And his concern is it could be mistaken by fish for food, which it's not.
There is a lot of newsworthy information here, but it also does feel like it was a slow news day at the BBC.
Let's get on the glob story.
The unknown stinky glob story. Let's do that one. We've been holding that one since 2018.
If only Monty Python were still a group.
Oh.
They could take this glob story to the to the next level.
Just love the idea. Project Stinky Glob or Project Unknown Glob.
Project Unknown Glob.
I like Project Stinky Glob better.
I just now I want to kind of take a class with this guy because yeah. That's pretty funny.
Oh my gosh.
Project Unknown Glob. Globs not toxic, safe to handle, but with a volatile odor. So you are warned if you're on the coast of Newfoundland. Keep your eyes open. Keep your nose open.
Keep your nose open. You'll know it by the smell. Go ahead and touch it, but just don't eat it. Just
wear a mask.
Okay. Jane's telling people to wear masks again. Oh, no. Oh,
that's for tomorrow. that wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33 from the recombobulation area. He has written a new column looking back at the election results, and you can find that at the recombobulation area. Highly encourage you to subscribe to that. He is award-winning and really a fantastic writer.
Lots of awards.
Yeah, tons and tons of awards. Dr. Kristen Lierley, our friend, will be here at 11 o'clock. We're going to check in with her. She did not win her bid in the 8th Congressional District, but she's a pretty positive human being. I can't keep that lady down.
No, and if there's a social media follow.
Dr. Lierley?
Dr. Lierley, because for someone who just lost a very competitive race, she's like, doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but we're keeping going. We're not going to forward. It's just nothing but the positive energy you've come to know and love of Dr. Kristen Lierley.
Absolutely. So if you need a little pick-me-up, join us tomorrow.
Yep.
Join us tomorrow. Dr. Lierley here at 11:06. And, of course, we'll wrap it up again with a tisbet. News is coming up next, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba. Give him some love.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.